The Basin loves sports.
Hello.
Gonzalez gives it to McGann. He triggers a three. McGann does it again. Give me a break. Tristan McGann, three triples this half.
That one's hit deep to left. No one's going to take that away. It is gone. A solo home run for Pua-Cam Milbourne ties this one up at one.
Join us as we break down the biggest games and meet the biggest stars. From the 960 Sports Studios in downtown Klamath Falls, presented by Gino's Cafe, it's Ballin' in the Basin with Josh Eldridge.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the program. Another episode of Ballin' in the Basin tonight, presented by Gino's Cafe on East Main Street. My name is Josh Eldridge. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Whether you're on the air, the live program on 104.3 and 960 Sports, or you're grabbing a podcast, or you're listening to the replay, appreciate you all the same. We've got a big show tonight, and quite a lot to get to, actually. We had a couple of guests stop by earlier in the day. Want to share those interviews with you a little bit later on. Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell. Boy, we talked for about a half hour, and so that's going to take up quite a bit of this show. Had to get him in earlier in the day. Busy guy with a basketball coach and all the things he's doing. So we'll talk to you'll hear the interview with him a little bit later on in the program. And also Henley football senior Jeremiah Brunick joining the program as well. Had to talk to Brunick as well before the program. Henley has, of course, football practice during the hours of this program, and so Jeremiah stopped in with us earlier on in the show. So we've got an hour chock full of interviews, which doesn't leave me very much time to get to some of the other stuff that I want to get to, but I promise you, you'll want to stick around for these interviews. They are some good ones. We'll also talk a little bit about high school volleyball. Was out at Klamath Union High School last night, broadcasting their match with the Hornets. What a game that was, going five sets. I think Klamath Union surprised a lot of people. They certainly surprised me last night, so we'll try to talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But I want to start where we typically do, and that is with a recap of high school football from this last weekend. Of course, we'll start with the Henley Hornets, being that they are our main coverage school. And well, they weren't they were without their normal starting quarterback last week, Joe Janney, missing due to injury. He took a pretty hard bump at the end of the game against North Bend a couple of weeks ago, so the Hornets were without him against the Ashland Grizzlies. But despite that, they still picked up a 42-13 win. The backup, Derek Cox, played well in the absence of Joe Janney. Didn't stuff the stat sheet, but just played consistent. He was 5 of 7 on passing, 53 yards. He threw a touchdown. I think where the Hornets made their difference was on the ground game. And I've been hearing this from a few different coaches in the basin when they look at Henley and they say, well, they can run the football, and that's really what makes them good. And boy, they showed everybody why back on Friday against Ashland. Jeremiah Brunick, who again we'll have on the show later on, he ran wild. He had 195 yards on the ground, 14 carries, 3 touchdowns. Trapper Kundal was a big help. He added a score in 78 yards. He carried the ball 8 times. And so it was just a good rushing attack for Henley, who on defense held the fourth best passer in the classification to only 94 yards passing. They had a really good overall game to defeat Ashland. Again, 42-13 was the final score there. This week, they've got a big game, and we'll talk with Jeremiah about it in a little bit. You'll hear about it, at least. It's homecoming week, and they've got number one Marshfield coming to Hill O'Brien Field. It's going to be a battle. Marshfield is a very good team. They are undefeated. Like I said, they're ranked number one in the OSAA computer rankings, and I participate in a media poll, and I put Marshfield as my number one team this week. I think that they are just so very good, and Henley's going to have their handful this week. I think they can handle it. I think Henley's one of the best teams in the state as well, especially these last couple of weeks since they've been clicking into gear. They'll have a good shot against the number one team in the state, but it's going to be a battle Friday night. That is for certain. Looking at the Mazama Vikings, another tough loss for the Vikes. This is their sixth loss in a row. They're now 1-6 overall on the season. This time it was at the hands of the North Bend Bulldogs. 40-14 was the final score. As far as I can tell by looking at the numbers for this game, it looks like Mazama moved the ball okay. They just couldn't punch it into the end zone, but they had 351 all-purpose yards in the game, but it just wasn't enough this time around. Kellen Lee had 201 yards passing. That's his most of the season so far. Brody Mahone scored a rushing touchdown, had 78 yards on 11 carries. carries. That's not a ton of yards for him, but he still was able to get up there in the yards collected. And Ryzen McDonald had 116 yards receiving. That's a season high for him as well. So I'm not quite sure what went wrong for the Vikings in this game to lose by such a wide margin, but they'll have a chance to get back after it this week when they visit Ashland. Looking at the 3A school, Klamath Union, the Pelicans, they were really competitive against the Phoenix Pirates till about the fourth quarter. The final score was 49-19, but Klamath Union was only down by 9 points heading into the final quarter. Unfortunately, like I said, Klamath Union just kind of crumbled in the fourth quarter. Phoenix outscored him 21-0 in the fourth quarter, and well, that's how that game went. Offensively for Klamath Union, Reese Johnson was 12 of 34 passing, had 170 yards, 3 touchdowns. Those 3 touchdowns were thrown to Nolan Baker, Tuco Saluskin, and Trevin Ruano. On defense, Saluskin looked good. He came up with 3 interceptions, but the counterpart to that was that Phoenix also created 3 turnovers for the Pelicans, and they cashed in on 3 scores. So there you go. Klamath Union's in a little bit of an interesting predicament this week. They're on a road trip to Modesto Christian, something that they hadn't really expected. They were supposed to host Umatilla this week, actually. That was their scheduled Week 8 opponent, but Umatilla canceled on them, so Klamath Union had to kind of scramble to find a game, and they did with a team down in California. They're playing Modesto Christian, but because this is a road game and they didn't necessarily budget for it, Klamath Union, they have a little fundraiser going on right now, so if you're able to help them out, make this road trip successful. I know there's been a couple of businesses that have stepped up in a big way to help them, but they are still looking for any type of monetary help to make sure it's a good experience for the kids. Get meals. They've already secured lodging, which is nice, but they want to get meals and try to make a good experience out of it. So if you're able to make a donation to Klamath Union Football for their Week 8 road trip to Modesto Christian, you're able to do so on Venmo. You can send it to them at Klamath_Union_football, and it'll get in the right hands, and certainly a good cause if you're able to do it for Klamath Union this week. There was only one game featuring 2A schools this week in the Basin. It's because they played each other, and Lost River dismantled Bonanza in the Potato Bowl. It was 46-6. The Raiders led 24-0 after the first quarter and 40-0 by halftime. It doesn't really seem like this game was ever in question. Kellen Dunley had another great week, 82 yards on the ground, 5 carries, 3 touchdowns. Connor Guthrie had 21 yards as well. And Kellen Dunley on defense, an interception, 6 tackles. Just a great overall job for Kellen Dunley. He's been a real star player this year for Lost River, and good to see him doing good. For Bonanza, they just had a hard time getting the ball moving on offense. They had 243 all-purpose yards. Isaac Noble led the team on both sides of the ball. No real surprise there. He had 137 yards rushing and a touchdown. And then he also led the team in receptions as well, with 6 catches and 39 yards. Cole Jesperson was 10 of 15 passing, 70 yards. He did throw an interception in that game. So with this win for Lost River, they are still unbeaten in the league. They are 1 win away from clinching at least a share of the league title, and they'll try to do it against St. Mary's on Friday. The Antlers, they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but their season will continue on Saturday against Rogue River. Looking at the Cross Point Christian Warriors down in the 1A classification, they earned their 5th straight victory, a shutout 30-0 win against the Glendale Pirates. This gives them full control of the top spot in the conference, with Glendale now being in 2nd place. And the Warriors, to no surprise, did most of their damage on the ground. They rushed the ball 30 times for 225 yards as a team, and Chris Kelly led the group with 99 yards himself and 3 touchdowns. This is just classic Cross Point Christian football. They don't throw a ton. They do run a lot. They'll get a lot of different guys' touches out of the backfield, and they play good defense. Chris Kelly, who I just mentioned, had a team-high 17 tackles. Brock Throne also had 16 tackles. He's a defensive lineman and a good one at that. So the Warriors will have a little bit of an easier time, I think, this week. Instead of playing a team at the top of the conference, they'll challenge Prospect Charter, who's towards the bottom of the league, and hopefully the Warriors, for their sake, can hang on to that top spot. On Saturday, the Chiloquin Panthers lost to the Riddle Irish 36-26. This was a close game up until about about 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's when Riddle added one final touchdown score to put the game out of reach. Got to give some credit to Chiloquin, though. They played most of the game without their two best players. Denver Bravo and Leland Wilder were both kind of banged up with injuries throughout most of the game. That's their quarterback and their running back. And in eight-man football, that's everything. I mean, really, it is. And they had to play without both of them. Credit to Dylan Black. He had three rushing touchdowns while playing a backup role. Justin Parrish had a touchdown. It just was too much for Chiloquin to overcome. They played their hearts out, but unfortunately they came up short. They will take on Glendale this week. So there you go. That's what's happening in the Klamath Basin in Oregon as far as high school football goes. But again, we have got such a great couple of interviews lined up for you. We're going to keep talking high school football on the other side when we chat with Henley senior Jeremiah Brunick about their week 8 game against Marshfield. That's coming up as we continue your show tonight. Ballin' in the Basin is brought to you by Geno's on East Main.
Fall has arrived in the Basin, and what better way to celebrate October than a meal and a hot or cold beverage at Geno's Cafe and Sports Bar on East Main Street. We prepared some delicious monthly specials for you, including our pumpkin French toast breakfast, along with Tina Lee's house-made ghostly clam chowder bread bowls. And an October favorite is Geno's Bloody Mary Burger made with, you guessed it, our in-house Bloody Mary mix. And for dessert, it's apple caramel cheesecake. Need I say more? Remember to dine in with us Wednesdays when wings are only a dollar each. We open every morning at 6:30 a.m. serving our famous breakfast burritos. You can call in an order right now at 884-6474 or DoorDash an order anytime. We also do catering for any size group. It's all at Geno's Cafe and Sports Bar. Check out our full menu and all our activities online at ilovegenos.com.
Ballin' in the Basin is brought to you by Klamath Falls Subaru on Washburn Way. Visit them at klamathfallssubaru.com.
Welcome back tonight to Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports, and with a podcast available on mybasin.com after the show is over. We'll continue to talk about high school football tonight, and we've got our first guest along with us in studio this evening, Henley football senior Jeremiah Brunick, playing a little running back, playing a little free safety, a little linebacker, kind of doing it all. Jeremiah, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk about the season that you guys have had so far. You're 4-2 overall on the year. You're 3-0 in league play. Most recently, you beat Ashland 42-13. You played great individually in that game. You had 195 rushing yards, three touchdowns. What allowed you to be so successful in that game?
Well, I mean, I feel like you could kind of say it for any running back. You can't have a good running back without a great line. So I'd say my teammates, the coaches, kind of the game plan we had drawn up for it. Watching film, we knew what would work and what wouldn't. And then as it kept working, we just kind of kept going back towards it. So just kind of knowing what's happening, getting it done all around, not just me.
Yeah. You guys played with a backup quarterback on Friday as well. Derek did well in his role as a backup. What did you see from him last week kind of leading up to that game? And did you expect him to play as well as he did in replacement of Joe?
Yeah, I mean, always watching him. Always watching whenever he plays down with the JV, even when he gets in, like, kind of towards the end of varsity games. There's always potential, mainly in younger guys like that, and the fact that he's able to watch kind of the senior roles, I think that kind of helps him prosper. And yeah, I feel like we kind of all expected him to do good. Nobody really had much of a doubt.
It's been an up-and-down season at times for you guys. I mean, your week one game was canceled. That was kind of wild to deal with. Then you scrambled to find an opponent in Thurston. You had to play four straight road games because of all these questions with the schedule. What's been your perspective on this kind of at times chaotic season?
Just kind of the next game mentality. I mean, we've been looking forward to playoffs till the end of the season towards games like this upcoming one, the homecoming game and our senior night. But always just kind of also like, this game is what matters right now, kind of a mentality. So whether we're away or at home, it's always, we just got to get the job done. It's a business trip or it's just getting it done at our place.
You guys showed a lot of grit earlier in the season, I think, after your loss to Cascade Christian. It was your worst loss in a lot of years, something that you haven't had to face a lot of adversity in that way before, bouncing back after a tough loss. But you guys did in a big way and beat Hidden Valley the next week. What sort of conversations took place after that loss, and was it kind of a wake-up call for you guys?
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely a wake-up call. I feel like after the Marist game, we might have let our guards down a little bit. Not really been as locked in as we should have been, but I feel like a lot of the things that the coaches said and just kind of that you need to do your role, nobody else's, and just always bring it. Don't just expect the wins and the big plays to come to you. You got to actually bring them to the game.
We're here talking Henley football with their senior running back, Jeremiah Brunick. I want to talk to you individually about some of the things you do. You're a multi-sport athlete. You also participate in basketball and track and field. What gives you this competitive drive that you have to be a multi-sport athlete? Where do you find that from?
Growing up, I just kind of played a lot of sports, and I feel like I had that instilled in me. My family plays a lot of sports. My friends, everybody that I have been around has definitely been competitive, so I feel like it's just kind of been instilled in me growing up.
What sport came first to you? How'd you find your love for it?
Well, my first ever sport was soccer.
Okay.
But then I quit that, and I started playing football. I think it was just the teammates and the friends and coaches that I interacted with along the way. I think that's what I kind of fell in love with first. Then the other ones just came along with it in the same way.
Let's talk kind of about your sports specifically. The boys basketball team, you guys had a tough year last year throughout most of the league season. Were there any lessons that you were able to take from such a challenging season last year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, always just kind of finding the glory and the happiness in situations where others might not. And being able to persevere through those times and looking forward, like what can we do to get better rather than just hanging our heads.
Have you been able to get into the gym at all yet this year?
Yeah, definitely like a good amount, but not as much as I like just because the other sports going on, but whenever the opportunity comes, definitely.
We're talking about track and field. You compete in some field events. You won the district long jump competition, placed second in the high jump. Congratulations on that. Earned a bid to the state championship in both events as well. It was your second time going to Hayward Field, but I mean, I got to imagine that atmosphere never gets old. Describe what it's like to walk out onto Hayward Field.
I mean, it's sweet. And the fact that, like, at least for my family, I can always still know right where they are just by how loud they are. So it's really cool being able to do stuff like start the clap or something that you can't really do in a lot of other environments. It's jaw-dropping. It's nice.
Yeah. You've got all this playing experience, right, as a senior. And then you've got, you know, legitimate experiences like going to the state championships and things like that. I'm sure your teammates look to you to be kind of a leader. Have you experienced that? Do you have to embrace this leadership role, or is it something that comes naturally to you?
I feel like it's definitely something that kind of got to embrace, because I mean, looking back to last year, I feel like that's one of the things that we mainly lacked. And then this year coming in with 26 seniors, it's hard to everybody have that leadership role, but I feel like it's something that we all have, not just me, everybody instills it. You have guys that don't even really get in a lot of games that are still kind of setting the tone for things like practice and warm-ups. I feel like just everybody on our teams kind of has that like instilled in them, and that just to get it going.
How would you describe your style of leadership in a given situation?
I'd say probably just trying to keep everything up, trying to keep heads up, trying to keep the small things away that might hinder us without us really knowing.
You are a senior. We've been talking about that. You're closing in on the end of your high school career. Have you given much thought into what comes next for you after high school?
Definitely college. I mean, I feel like that's what a lot of people's answer would be. I don't have anything decided specifically, but I want to do collegiate sports.
Yeah.
So it's kind of whatever comes. I still got 1 year left for both basketball and track. So, yeah, it's undecided right now.
But do you have an idea what you want to major in?
I'm in between, like, business, marketing, communications around there. I want to be, like, real estate. So just something that will help me in that route.
Great. What are some things that you do away from sports? I mean, how do you unwind at the end of the day?
Definitely just hanging out with friends, family, even the people that it might get stressful with on the field, just going, like, tonight, for example, we have, like, the Powerpuff.
Yeah.
Flag football games, stuff like that. That's just kind of, like, not always serious, but still we'll get your mind off of it and just kind of ease the situation.
We're here talking with Henley football senior Jeremiah Brunick, getting ready for their homecoming game this week against number one Marshfield. This is a big game. It's your biggest since probably week one against Marist. What do you know about the Pirates coming into this game?
We watched a lot of film. We know definitely a good amount. we know as much as we would like to.
Yeah.
I'd say there's definitely stuff that we rep in practice that we're looking forward to repping in game. And yeah.
What's it going to take for you guys to get the job done on Friday and try to come away with a win?
I think just doing your part, just kind of that team aspect of it. I feel like Marshfield's obviously a great team, undefeated. They've earned that. And I think that the secret to overthrowing that is just kind of teamwork. Nobody can do it on their own.
Hanley football senior Jeremiah Burnick joining us tonight on Ballin' in the Basin. And you'll be able to catch Jeremiah and the rest of the Hanley Hornets on Friday night. They are taking on the number one team in the state in the Marshfield Pirates. Our pregame show starts at 6:45. Kickoff is at 7. You can catch it right here on the radio on 104.3 and 960. Or you can catch the live free video broadcast available on mybasin.com. Jeremiah, thank you so much again for joining us. And stick around for more Ballin' in the Basin coming up on the other side. Continuing our interview segments, we've got Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell coming up in just a bit. So stick around for more on Ballin' in the Basin tonight here, presented by Geno's on East Main.
I'm Jason Taylor with Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here in Klamath Falls. We are proud to be your official timeout sponsor this sports season with 960 Sports, and we're even more proud to support the incredible youth athletes in our community. At Elevate, we specialize in helping athletes recover from injuries and get back to doing what they love. Whether it's a sore knee, a sprained ankle, or something even more serious, we take the time to understand each athlete's goals and build a personalized recovery plan that works. If your athlete needs physical therapy, Elevate offers one-on-one care, tailored support, and science-based treatment plans designed to build strength, restore movement, and keep them healthy for the whole season. So whether you're a player, a parent, or a fan, stop by or give us a call at 541-887-2030. We'll be here all season long supporting our youth and celebrating everything that makes this community so special. Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here when you need us all season long with 960 Sports.
This is Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports from downtown Klamath Falls. We're back with Ballin' in the Basin.
Welcome you back to Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports and podcast available on mybasin.com. If you missed any portion of tonight's show so far, be sure you grab that podcast. Whether you want a recap of high school football in the Basin or you want to listen to what Henley football senior Jeremiah Brunick has to say about their game coming up on Friday night against number one Marshfield. Talked with Brunick about that as well as a few of the other things he's involved with at Henley High School. So certainly encourage you to go back and listen if you missed that interview. We've got a great guest here in front of us as well. Maybe one you might want to go back and listen to as well. Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell. Coach, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know that you're a busy guy, but again, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, no. When you coach basketball for a living, you might be busy, but it's a pretty good life. And no, I just appreciate you having me on. Appreciate all you guys doing in the Basin.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into it. It's your 10th season as the head coach of the men's basketball team. Not many coaches stick around for 10 years at any one spot. What does this milestone mean to you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always knew I wanted to coach, you know, from when I was little. I think I just had a lot of positive people in my life that made impacts, you know, whether it was a little league coach or, you know, varsity high school basketball coach, college coach, whatever it was. I think I just saw the impact, and I think initially just, you know, I wanted to be involved with basketball just because it was a big part of my life, or sports in general. And, you know, I think that's how initially it started. And then as you go through, you create relationships and lifelong friendships, and you get to see these guys doing incredible things throughout their career and then after their career. And so I think that's really the big part. And so the milestone is just, you know, it's been 10 years. I cannot believe it. I can't believe they hired me 10 years ago. I mean, I'm dead serious. I had no business getting that job. I think the Coach Miles, you know, greatly, he had a big say in that. And, you know, and then 10 years later, we're rolling. And I've enjoyed it. I really like it. I really like Klamath Falls. I like our community. It has everything, you know, that our family needs and that we enjoy, which is outdoors and fishing and hunting and, you know, and I just love the small community feel. Our kids are in a great school. My wife has a great job, and I love Oregon Tech. So, you know, just hopefully they'll keep me here another 10.
This season coming up is going to be one of the more unique seasons in your tenure. The word that keeps getting thrown around is new era for the team. Is this the first time you've had as much turnover as you do this year in your coaching tenure?
You know, the year we – so in 2019 we went to the national championship game. And then the following year we had every player back. And we were very senior-led. And that was the year COVID hit when we were at the national tournament. We had a great chance to win it. It was very – still hurts to this day. And we lost a lot off of that team. We lost Mitch Fink, Tyler Heaps, Seth Erickson, Garrett Albright. Or actually, Garrett was back for the next year. But so we lost a lot that year, but we still had returning starters. So this is the first time I've never returned a starter and essentially our sixth man in Jay Elmore. So 100%, this is the most turnover. I think part of the reason is of that is when those guys all got the extra COVID year, they got that free spring. Mm-hmm. I think it really impacted our recruiting because we weren't able to go recruit. So it's like an empty class. And that is kind of what you're seeing now is, you know, we really don't recruit a lot of transfers to bridge that gap. So we stayed with our freshman model. And that's why you're seeing, you know, this year we're replacing all five starters and essentially a brand new ball club. And it's exciting. I think that I figured out the last 2 years I didn't have to do a lot of coaching. And I mean that. I mean, those guys, we'd be in a huddle and I'd, you know, it'd be late game and I'd tell Jamison Guerra, like, hey, do you remember that play we ran like 3 years ago at LC State where you got in the post? Like, yeah, let's run that, you know. And yeah. And they would do it. Now this year it's like putting in everything new and having to go over everything a lot and just getting – I've enjoyed it. You know, we're young, but we still got some really good pieces that came back from last year. And I just think the growth we're seeing day by day is pretty big. And maybe something we haven't seen in the last couple of years is that much growth because there wasn't a lot of growing to be needed.
Yeah. Talk about some of the guys that graduated from last year's team. And I think to the point I'm going to make, I think of Jamison and I think of Keegan about this. Guys who were just obvious leaders on the teams in years past. Did people naturally step into leadership roles on this year's team? Did you have to push some guys? How did you approach trying to find new leaders on this team?
Great question. And I think it's the most important question to be answered for us this year because I think we do have the talent to compete. Those guys, you know, the Jamison, Cam, Eric, Blake, Keegan, like they were just natural born leaders and you could see it from when they arrived on campus. Even when they were freshmen, you could see it. They just didn't have the social clout, you know, to be those guys. And that was the reason I think we were so successful with that group is just their leadership was A1. And then, so you get into this year, and it's like, well, who's going to step up? It was pretty obvious right from the beginning it was going to be Jackson Cooper. He's not only a great player, but I think as a leader, you know, it's hard to create a leader. You can. They got to have something in them a little bit that's, you know, intrinsically motivating them to be a vocal leader, not be afraid to step up, not be afraid to hurt people's feelings. Because sometimes being a leader – being a leader or a captain on a team comes at a price. Mm-hmm. And Jackson, you can just tell right away last spring when we started playing again after the season that he was the guy. He was the guy that everybody was going to listen to. And maybe it's a reason because of how good a player he is. You know, maybe it's how much time he's in the gym and he's not afraid to use his voice. And so I think that right away he stepped up and he's still learning. You know, I think to answer your question is, you know, there are things that have to be taught. You have to learn how to be a leader, and there's just little things, and you got to be able to hold people accountable and get on guys. But you still got to put your arm around them, and you know, we always say like, you want to catch people doing something right instead of always just catching people doing something wrong. You know, and nobody wants to be led by somebody like that, and you can lead that way. You know, because if I'm say, hey, Josh, I really like that pass you made. That was a great pass. You know, keep moving that ball that way. Well, you're gonna think, oh man, yeah, that was good. I'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
And I think Jackson's learning that. And I think right now we're who's that next guy? Because I think we need another vocal leader to step up. I think there's a couple in the bunch and kind of waiting on that right now.
We've kind of talked about some of the guys you have returning and you feel confident about that, but there's so many new faces on this year's team, and we'll talk about some of them individually here in a minute, but just the youth of this team, how have you approached that challenge as a coach? And like you said, it's something you haven't had to face in a couple seasons now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the last time I had a team this young was probably my second year as head coach. We brought in a really good group of freshmen my first year, and it was, you know, like Mitchell Feeney, Tyler Hebe, those guys, I'm sure our fans remember them, obviously. And we were really young that year, but not as young as this year. And I think the hard part, too, is the guys we have coming back are really good players. And there was times last year where, you know, we probably should have played them more. Like Dakota Reber definitely deserved more minutes last year. He was just playing behind Eric Frazier, who's hard to take off the floor. Jackson Cooper, really, really good. He was playing behind Blake Jensen last year. Really hard to put him on the floor. And same with, like, Grant Toll. So we do have some, like, good players coming back that are they're essentially, you could say, veterans, maybe not in their experience, but in their years. But then you have the youth. And we have some really, really good freshmen. But they're 18 years old. And they have to learn. I think one of the biggest things we've been trying to preach all preseason is, like, you have to be ready for the fight, because in high school, you know, you're not just going to out-athlete somebody. No one's afraid of you. And just the level of physicality and fight you have to bring every night is just a different level. And we've been just trying to instill in them, you have to do it every day. You have to be an everyday guy. And they look like freshmen at times, and that's expected, and it's getting better. And I just think going into Friday night playing against Southern Oregon is such a great welcome to college basketball for them, because there's going to be no false confidence. They're playing against a top 10 team in the country that's very, very physical, and they're going to have to rise to the occasion. So just trying to get them to understand the level that you have to bring every night, that's really difficult. And the teams that are finish in the top three, top four of our league, they understand that. They understand that every night there's no gimmies, and you got to bring it, and you got to bring your mind, you got to bring your strength, your physicality, your mindset, everything. And I just think that's the biggest adjustment for freshmen. They're going to make shots. They're fine. They can guard. They're athletic. They're super long. It's just that mindset of, you know, that we got to be at our best every night. There's no nights off.
You're talking with Oregon Tech men's basketball coach Justin Parnell. They open up the season on Friday night against Southern Oregon. Let's talk specifically about some of the new guys. The name that jumps off the page to me right away, of course, is Kyle Biddle. And for those who don't know, his older brother Nate's an all-conference player for the Ducks, so he's got the genes for sure. What kind of things can we expect to see from him this year?
Yeah, Kyle's awesome. Just comes from a great athletic family. You know, his dad, aunt, mom and dad both played sports at OIT. You know, his dad played for Danny Miles basketball, and then Nate, his brother, is probably the best, one of the best big men in the entire country.
Yeah,
7-footer. And his sister plays for Corbin volleyball, and they're one of the best teams in the country, and she's probably their best player. Mm. And so then Kyle, the youngest, I started watching Kyle. We did, Coach Fink and I, a couple years ago, and really liked him. And I knew he probably wasn't the level of his brother. I mean, his brother was a 5-star recruit out of high school, and Kyle wasn't, but we're like, man, Kyle's a really good player. And started off last year, senior season, I think through 4 or 5 games, he's averaging 26 points, playing really well, and then he hurt his knee, and he was out for the year. And it was a pretty major knee surgery. He got cleared just before he arrived in the fall, and he looked like that. You know, he looked slow and trying to get back into it, but he's almost like this wilted flower that's just, like, blooming and coming back every day. He just gets a little better, and I still think he's probably a year away. Kyle's just coming off such a major knee surgery, but he has all the tools to be a great player. He can shoot, he can pass, high IQ. He's 6'6", probably gonna grow. You know, I imagine he'll be 6'7", 6'8" at the end of his career, and he's a really good player. I just, right now in his career, probably just not ready, but it'd be fun in January. You know, we might be surprised.
Some of the other freshmen on the team, guys like Nathan Payne, a couple other tricky pronunciations I'm not going to take a stab at quite yet. But what have you seen from these guys, and why do you want them here at Tech?
Well, Owen Nathan is kind of just a little bit of do-it-all. And we didn't really know about him. And actually, Coach Fink's high school coach at Clackamas called us a couple years ago, like, hey, you got to take a look at this Owen Nathan kid out of Roosevelt. And I'm like, all right, yeah, we'll take a look. We watched him for about 3 minutes and knew exactly what he was talking about. He's scrappy, confident. I always say he's got a lot of moxie. Like, you just can't really rattle him. And he's going to be really, really good. He'll probably be one of the next great point guards at Oregon Tech. But, again, he's 18 years old, and we're going to be patient with him. And but he's got the tools, and he's got the mindset to be really good. And then Gillen Payne out of Oregon City, I think, was probably the most under-recruited player in the Pacific Northwest. You know, because he's from Oregon City, so that Portland area, but he's not Portland.
Right.
And sometimes that gets overlooked, and we just couldn't believe it as we were recruiting him. No one else was stepping in, like no higher, bigger schools. And they were talking to him, but no offers because nobody's recruiting freshmen anymore,
right,
except for us in College of Idaho in Southern Oregon. So, you know, and the more we watched him, the more we thought he'd be ready to go immediately at the college level, and we were right. He's going to start for us on Friday night. He is an absolute athlete. I mean, above the rim, great defensive player, just a joy to coach. And I think he's one of those guys, as soon as he figures out that you have to bring it every day, practice every night in the game, I just think the sky's the limit for Gillen. He can do it all.
Aside from some of the freshmen you brought in, got in a transfer from SWAC, Colby Wicker is going to be a guy that we expect to see some things from. I got kind of two questions here. When you talked about you don't really recruit a lot of JUCO guys, is that is the strategy going into recruiting JUCO guys different than recruiting freshmen, or do you approach that all the same?
No, it's certainly different. I think with a freshman recruiting them, their expectations of being recruited, you know, cause just might be a little bit different. And, you know, the freshmen or their parents are essentially the decision makers. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're 16, 17, 18 years old. And so I think you're probably recruiting the parents a little bit more than the kid and, you know, really just preaching, because they haven't been to college. So everything that we're about, you know, whether it's, hey, here's our weight program, here's what to do with tutoring, here's how we practice, here's our travel, and just explaining to them and getting just every intricate detail that the parents are going to want to know. Scholarships, they're going to know, they want to know every detail and what's covered. And then with a JUCO kid, they've kind of been around the block, so they get it. And a lot of JUCO kids are probably easier to recruit because they kind of know what they want. You know, they call it their JUCO coach, if it's a really good JUCO coach, he's going to try to find them a program that fits them and academically, athletically, and the parents aren't as much involved because the kid's 20 years old. And so you're really recruiting a kid, and it's pretty specialized. And like I said, we don't recruit a lot of JUCO kids, but I really respect Colby's JUCO coach, Riley at SWAC. I think he's one of the best. And he just continued to come back to us and said, hey, you have to take a look at Colby. And then months would go by. You got to take a look at Colby. I think you're missing the boat. So finally we did, and we brought him down on a visit. And, yeah, like we really like him. And the tough part with Colby is he had a pretty severe calf injury in the summer, and it's really affected, like, the whole left side of his body, his lower limbs. And he's just now getting healthy. And so it might be a little bit of a slow start for Colby to start the year in terms of, like, minutes and whatnot. But I would expect mid-year that he'll be a huge part of what we're doing.
Got a second question about recruiting. When you go looking for players, do you look for just the overall best players that are available, or do you really try to shop for players that you think will fit in your system well?
Yeah, no, good question, and I think everybody's a little different. For us, you know, we can't just go watch a high school game on a Tuesday night or a Friday night up in the Valley because, first of all, you know, I have a young family. I'm not going to be traveling around all week after practice and whatnot, and I wouldn't expect our assistant coaches to. It's just we're so isolated that we have to put a huge emphasis on the summer recruiting. So going out to tournaments with 100 teams and just thousands of athletes that you're kind of scouring over. So our thing is when we go to a recruiting tournament, the first thing we're looking at when we watch a player is, number one, is what is his foot speed like? Because if you can't move your feet, you can't play. And you got to have good foot speed. You got to be able to move laterally. If you can't, you're really going to struggle here just with the way we play. So our number one thing, yeah, Can he move? Can he move side to side? Does he have quick feet? If he has slow feet, we're probably going to move on. And then second, which is kind of unique, is we kind of look for what is your superpower. And what I mean by that is there something you do on the floor that is better than everybody else? Is that you're just a better athlete? Are you just an absolute lockdown defender, your best defender on the floor? Are you a great shooter, scorer, really good in the ball screen? So we're just looking for what is your superpower? Is there something that you can bring to this team that day one we put you on the floor and we're like, you know, that's it? And if you look at our current freshman, like Gillen Payne, we knew that he'd be one of the best athletes on the floor at all times. So we need that. Owen Nathan, we knew, you know, and Owen is just a grinder. He's got so much moxie. He's going to be tougher pound for pound than everybody else. And then a guy we haven't mentioned is James Kefchin out of Westview, and he just is the best shooter. No matter where he steps on the floor, he's going to be the best shooter. So, you know, they all have great foot speed, and they all have a superpower.
Here talking with Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell. Talk about how your team looks a little bit different this year. The coaching staff looks a little bit different as well, with Coach Paul Poach retiring at the end of last season. That's made Mitch Fink have to step up to be your top assistant this year. What kind of growth have you seen from him from when you recruited him to now as your top assistant coach?
Yeah, well, a little breaking news here. Poach is back.
Oh, he is, huh? Well, that is breaking.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul, we talked, I think, in late September, and you know, I think he wanted to be involved in some sort of facet still, which I was stoked about.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's such an asset. So he's back. But, no, Mitch, he and even with Paul back, Mitch will take an expanded role. You know, when we recruited him when he was 18 years old, he was typical 18-year-old, cocky and confident, and which is what I loved about him and always have. And he's just matured so much and turned into, I think, the best player that's ever played at Oregon Tech. And then through the coaching, you've seen him grow every year as well. He's really dove into the personal, individual skill workout development, which our players are always extremely skilled. It's, you know, in large part to Coach Fink and the time he puts in. He's great in the weight room with the guys. He's done a lot of research there, whether it's dietary supplements, you know, targeted trainings. And, you know, we're not a team that just goes down to the weight room and just throws around weight. It's pretty targeted on what's going to make you a good basketball player. And he's just done such a great job there. And on the court, I just think as you advance in your career and you prove it, you're going to get more leash. You know, your leash is going to get longer. And, you know, for example, last night we were putting in a pretty big part of our offense, and I sat on the sidelines and let Mitch do it. And maybe 3 years ago I wouldn't have done that, and now I think he probably teaches it better than me. So, you know, I'm just super happy with him and the job that he's done. He's made a huge impact on this program as a player and a coach.
Did you see coaching in his future when you recruited him?
Yeah, I did. I mean, he's a natural leader. Everybody's a little bit different of a leader. He kind of led through his play, and he led through just being an alpha. And I just knew that that would translate. I knew he wanted to go play overseas, and he was over in Portugal, and I knew he probably was about done. I could just sense that, and I asked him if he'd be interested in coaching, and boom, he took it, and he joined us. So I knew that he'd end up being a pretty good coach, and I think you can just see that in certain guys. And I think he'll be a head coach in our league or in the GNAC or something, or JUCO at some point, but I think he's pretty comfortable here right now.
Here talking with Oregon Tech men's head basketball coach Justin Parnell. I want to discuss the season you guys have ahead this year. We look at the preseason rankings for the conference that were released, I think, last week. You guys were picked fourth behind College of Idaho, Southern Oregon, and LC State. Do you put much stock in these preseason rankings when they come out?
Zero. Yeah. I mean, my first year as head coach, we were picked seventh, and we finished second, one game out of first. So I don't put any thought into it. I think a lot of it is based off past success. College of Idaho is ranked number one. They lost their whole team. They're ranked number one because they won the national championship.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job. Southern Oregon had a great finish to the year last year and is deserving of two. So I just think that we don't put much thought into it. Like the national poll just came out a few minutes ago, and we're in the receiving vote category. And part of me is thinking, well, nobody knows anything about the guys that we have. Why are we in the receiving votes? And part of me would be like, yeah, we deserve to be there. So, you know, it's just that first poll is great for media.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a nod to the previous team, and then you just got to go prove it. So I put zero thought into it. We won't even mention it with our team. We're just going to try to be the best version of ourselves every day.
So looking at those teams, I mean, you talked about College of Idaho. They're fresh off a national championship. They did lose a lot of players, much like you guys did. Who catches your eye in the league? Is it still them? Is it Southern? Is it LC State? Who do you look at as maybe the top competition this year?
Southern. I mean, I'm really impressed with the job that Matt Zosel's done over there. They really struggled last year at the beginning. They lost four league games to start. They kind of buried them, you know, and they had to fight back and got hot at the end and made a nice run. They return more than anybody in our league by far. Elijah Jackson, I think, is a fantastic point guard, one of the best in the country. Their big kid, Jojo Hala, is a load inside. He's really tough, and they just have a lot of pieces around them that make them good. I voted them number one in our league in the preseason just because of what they return and what they did at the end of the year last year, and I'm impressed with them. And you know, obviously, you want to play good teams to start the year, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Boy, you play a ton of good teams to start the year. Gauntlet non-league schedule, facing three top 10 teams to start the year. You said yesterday on the K-Lad Morning Show that maybe at the beginning of your coaching career, you thought scheduling a tough non-league schedule wasn't the way to go, but, I mean, clearly that's changed. What changed? Why you do this now?
Yeah, two reasons, and the number one reason is maybe more of a personal thing. I just don't like beating a team by 50. I don't like the way it feels. I don't think it makes us any better. I think you need to play really good teams. And if you look at it, if you play four really bad teams and your starters are playing 15, 20 minutes, well, over the course of their career, that's almost half a season that they're losing against teams that don't make them any better. And so that was kind of a – I actually talked a lot about with the old Southern coach, Ryan McDermott, that passed away a few years ago. I talked to him about that a lot because he always played a really tough schedule. And I'm like, before we had RPIs, I asked him, like, why do you do that? Because, you know, if you get 20 wins, you're going to get in the national tournament. So just schedule easy in the non-conference and do a good job in league and you're in. And he kind of shared with me that he just doesn't like the way it feels and it doesn't make him any better. Creates false confidence, and your kids are losing out on great opportunities, which has kind of resonated with me. And then as we moved into the RPI and strength of schedule world, it took me a year to realize, well, the strength of schedule makes a big difference. When they're sitting in that room at the end of the year selecting teams, and you might be, let's say, 18-10, but if you played a bunch of great teams and you might have lost a couple of them in the preseason and you're RPI and strength of schedule is way up there, you're going to get a really good look. And we've seen that happen. Corbin got in, Southern got in. We've seen some good teams from our league that maybe didn't have impressive records that got in the national tournament. Like our volleyball team last year was 17-13 and got in the national tournament, and they deserved it. And so I just think trying to schedule really tough, and it's kind of an art a little bit, and this year we may have went a little too on the hard side. Part of that is we playing in a couple classics that we don't have. We know the team that we're going to play at their place, but we don't know the team they're bringing in. And it just so happened that the tournament we're going to in Arizona Christian, Masters is going to be there, who's number eight in the country, and they're also going to be at the Hope tournament we're going to in L.A. They're going to be there as well. So six of our eight preseason games are against top 25 teams, and our first three are against three top 10 teams, and which is really – we're going to figure out really quick, which I'm excited about. I used to put so much into every single preseason game because it is really important. But the more you coach, you realize it's about the journey and the process. And if you can figure out quicker where you're exposed and where you're not very good at and where you're good at, you're going to be a lot better off down the stretch of league play.
First game of the season coming up Friday against Southern Oregon. It's the Taco Bell tip-off. Is this the first partnership with Taco Bell? How did this come about? What is the Taco Bell tip-off?
Great question. We're excited about it. I think we've always wanted to figure out something for the first game of the year to really get our student body and our fans engaged in that first game of the year. Part of that is, you know, can we do a giveaway? And the other part of that is play a really good team. So when we decided we were playing Southern Oregon to start the season, we thought, oh, let's make this a really good promotional night. And we kind of have an in at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know, one of our point guards, Sean Chris Trezvon, his dad is the CEO of Taco Bell, like the CEO. He'll actually be here, which is really cool, on Friday. And so really thankful to him in getting the Taco Bell corporate involved and providing all 500 shirts for the first 500 fans. A really cool. It's got that old retro hoodie with kind of engaged with Taco Bell, a nice collab. And so our fans will get a really cool shirt to start the year and see a really good game. And we're really thankful for Taco Bell helping us out financially with this.
I think I know the answer to this next question because I've asked it to you before, but what's it going to take to grab a win on Friday night?
Well, there's so many things, and being the first game of the year, you know, we've changed a lot offensively, as I'm sure Southern. We've changed things defensively, as I'm sure Southern. So there's not a whole lot of prep because we don't know what they're going to run and what they do. They're going to be creative with things that they did well last year and things that they think they can do well this year. But it's the physicality part that I think is the biggest piece on Friday night. Just Southern Oregon and us have had battles over the years. And this is usually one of the more physical games we're going to play. And we like to play a physical style. That's who we are. Southern is very similar. And I think for us is our returners understand that. They know what it takes. They know the level of mindset and physicality that you have to bring to a game like that. It's the new guys. Can they grasp that early? And we've tried to do a good job of that in the preseason. And I just think that's it. It's the physicality and it's the rebounding. Both teams were top of the league in offensive and defensive rebounding last year. And I just think that's going to be a big piece because early in the year, you're going to miss a lot of shots. It's just kind of the way it is. And who can minimize the amount of extra opportunities for the other team is probably going to be a team that wins.
Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell joining us tonight. Coach, I'll give you the final word. Any final thoughts before I let you get out of here?
No, I just, you know, we've appreciated our fan support so much over the years. It really is a reason a lot of players come and sign here and play here and stay here. Mm. In the world of the transferring, we have not been hit by it once. Not one time. And there's people that are schools that are having 5, 6, 7 transfers a year. We haven't had that. And it's a big part and credit to our fans. Just come out and support this young team and be patient with this young and inexperienced team. We have all of the skill, all of the athleticism to keep it rolling, and just come out and support these guys and show them, give them some of these freshmen just a great welcome to basketball at Danny Miles Court. And I know our fans will do that. And the other thing I wanted to say is Jameson Guerra, who's now at Idaho State using that extra year.
Yeah.
Really cool news came out yesterday that it's his first year there on a Division I program. He was voted team captain.
Wow, very
cool.
And,
yeah, it kind of choked me up when I heard it because I love that kid to death. One of my favorite players of all times. He is the real deal in every aspect of life, and I'm just so glad that his coaches and players recognize that there. That is, I mean, you're talking about a small college NAIA guy joining a Division I program, and at the end of their fall training, getting voted by all of his peers is the guy that they want to lead them.
But if you know Jameson, it doesn't really come as that big of a surprise.
No, doesn't surprise you at all if you know him. So I'm super happy for him. They open the season Friday as well. So if you kind of want to follow Jameson, they play it Friday at like 6. And I think it's streamed online through Idaho State. And you probably follow the live stats. So I'm a big Idaho State Bengal fan right now and just cheering on Jameson and wish him all the best.
All right, Coach Justin Parnell, thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oregon Tech head men's basketball coach Justin Parnell. His boys open up the season Friday night this week against Southern Oregon in the Taco Bell tip-off. 7 o'clock pregame show, 7:30 tip over on our sister station, Oregon's Country Giant, and your home for Hustlin' Owls basketball, 92.5 KLAD. Stick with us tonight on the program, Ballin' in the Basin. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and get you ready for a weekend full of local sports. That's coming up on 104.3 and 960 Sports. Ballin' in the Basin is brought to you by Geno's on East Main.
Hi, I'm Rob Cedar, General Manager of Cloud Falls Subaru. The Subaru model year is coming to an end, and we've got some huge year-end finance deals for you.
And I'm Jill. Rates as low as 0.9 on Subaru's best-selling model, the Outback. For real. 0.9 for 36 months or 1.9 for 72 months on 2025 Outbacks. This is crazy good.
There's more. We've got great rates on Crosstrek too. The Basin loves the 2025 Subaru Crosstrek, and our finance rates start as low as 1.9 for 63 months. I've never seen this before. 1.9? Our selection is great. Come get your 2025 Crosstrek today.
This October, for Subaru Loves Pets, Klamath Fold Subaru will provide direct funding through grants administered by the ASPCA to Klamath Animal Shelter to help cover costs for prepping animals for adoption, veterinary expenses, and more.
I'm Rob, and we're glad to know you. Always comfortable, never corporate. Stop by and say hi. Klamath Fold Subaru, open 7 days a week on Washburn Way, or click klamathfoldsubaru.com.
This is Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports. From downtown Klamath Falls, we're back with Ballin' in the Basin.
Josh Eldridge back with you tonight from downtown Klamath Falls. Glad to be with you for another edition of the show. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to wrap this thing up. Want to give a big shout-out to everybody who joined me on tonight's show, Jeremiah Brunick and Justin Parnell. If you missed either of their interviews, be sure to grab a podcast of the show. After it is concluded here in the next couple of seconds, we'll have it up for you on mybasin.com. Also want to give a big shout-out to the folks down at Geno's on East Main for being the presenting sponsor of our show this week. Want to remind you, Henley football in action Friday night. They are taking on the number one Marshfield Pirates. We'll have coverage for you right here on this station, also with live free video on mybasin.com. Until then, we're back same time, same place next week. Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports.